differentiate again.
So, if I take the strain
and I differentiate with respect to the stress, that gives me a the stiffness tensor, right? Because the chain in the change in the strain with respect to the stress was the stiffness tensor. And you see that I've got here an I and a J. That's because there are 9 elements of the strain. There are 9 elements of the stress. And when I take the derivatives, I've got I, J, K, L here. So there's 81 components, and I get a fourth rank tensor out of it. If I take the derivative of the strain with respect to the electric field, that tells me how the size of the crystal changes when I change the applied electric field. This is a piezoelectric effect. So crystals change their size, some crystals change their size when you change the electric field on them. It's used in a scanning tunneling microscope. The tip in a scanning tunneling microscope is moved up and down by changing the voltage across the crystal, and the crystal gets longer and shorter change the length by about a micron using a piezoelectric crystal like this. So very fine movements are used there. They're used in inkjet printers and fuel injectors. So in order to get a fast motion to shoot some ink in, there's a crystal, you pulse the voltage on, the crystal gets longer and it shoots some ink. They're used in these lighters that if you squeeze some handles and a spark comes out. And this is actually the inverse piezoelectric effect, where in that case you change the strain on the crystal, you change the length of the crystal, it generates an electric polarization, and that electric field appears across a small gap, and if the electric field reaches the breakdown field, it sparks. So this is the piezoelectric effect. And then the next one is how the strain changes when you change the magnetic field. This is a piezomagnetic effect, which you've probably never heard of and is usually not used. But when you change the magnetic field of something, it changes its length. A transformer will hum, right? You have a 50 hertz transformer and it hums at 50 hertz. I think that's mostly due to the magnetic forces. But also, if you had a crystal and you oscillate the magnetic field, it will change its size a bit. And then this last one is how the strain changes with temperature, and that's the thermal expansion, right? So how the length of a crystal changes with temperature is the thermal expansion. And now I've got lots of other effects. The second line is the electric polarization. This is how the polarization changes with strain. This is then the inverse piezoelectric effect. This is how the polarization changes with electric field, and that's the electric susceptibility. So the electric susceptibility is how, when you apply an electric field, a crystal will be polarized. So you imagine there are atoms in the crystal like this, and then you apply an electric field, and what happens after you apply an electric field is that the one side of it, the electron clouds move a little bit away from the positive charge and they get polarized like this. And the relationship between the polarization and the electric field is called the electric susceptibility. This is a matrix because it couples two vectors. And if I look here in this slide, I've got PI and I changed the three components of the electric field. I calculate the change of the, let's say I put the X component here. I calculate the change of the X component of the polarization when I change the X, Y, and Z components of the electric field. And for some crystals, some of those components might be zero, but in general, the susceptibility is a second rank tensor, it's a matrix. Let me go back to this one. This is the polarization and how the polarization changes with stress. The stress is a matrix. It's got 9 components. The polarization is a vector, and the inverse piezoelectric effect that couples them is a rank 3 tensor. And we see that here for every component of this vector, there are these 9 components here. So there are 27 constants that couple the polarization and the strain. This component is how the electric polarization changes when you change the magnetic field. And this is how the electric polarization changes when you change the temperature. This last one is called the pyroelectric effect. And it's used sometimes in controls where you don't actually touch anything. You just bring your finger close to something. And if there are doors that open when somebody just comes close and it's detecting the heat. So you can have materials that you have some material, usually it's built into a capacitor. You've got some capacitor, in between there's a material that's pyroelectric, and there's a polarization which causes an electric field in between, and as the temperature changes, the polarization changes, and a current will flow through an external circuit. So you can use it as a thermometer. They're used on sensors on the front of cars. So a car is supposed to open the hood when it drives into a person. You have a car coming along like this, and there's a person standing here. And if the car hits a person, the hood is supposed to open. They're actually explosive charges in some cars to open the hood really quick. There are explosive charges in the car, and if there's a person here, then the hood should open because the person is less damaged to be hit in a large area than just hit at the knees. And of course, you don't want this, the hood suddenly to open. You'd be driving along, you don't want it to open at the wrong time. So there are pressure sensors, but there are also pyroelectric sensors that sense that there's something warm that the car is driving into. So if it's driving into something that's not warm, the hood won't open. But if it's driving into, if it detects a pressure, so it doesn't even open until you hit the person. The car drives along, and when it hits the person, then, and it sees that this it's hitting something warm, the hood flips up like this. They make these sensors at the UNM Research Center in Weitz, and they have little toy cars that they drive into things and the hood pops open. It's fun to watch. Okay, so then there are more effects that you've probably never heard of about how the magnetization changes when you change the stress. This is the piezomagnetic effect. How the magnetization changes when you change the electric field, or how the magnetization changes when you change the temperature. And any effect whatsoever that you can think of, you can describe how changing that effect changes the free energy of the, changing that, changing some quantity changes the free energy of the system. And then the coefficient you're looking for is always a derivative or a second derivative of free energy. And what we do is we first calculate the free energy by solving the Schrodinger equation. We solve the Schrodinger equation for the microscopic states. From the microscopic states, we construct the free energy. We may have to then do a Legendre transformation to the appropriate free energy for our experimental system. At that point, we start taking derivatives and can calculate any property whatsoever of a crystal. By this means, you can calculate at least every equilibrium property. So there are things like electrical conductivity, where it's not
at equilibrium, you're putting energy into it, and you have to do a little bit more, a little bit longer calculation than this. But for all equilibrium properties, you can describe them in terms of a derivative of a free energy.
And this is why I always concentrate on getting the density of states and calculating the free energy.